Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to John chapter 12. Keep your Bibles open. We're going to do a bit of a topical lesson tonight. And really hope this will help you in your relationship with your Lord and also in relationship with your brethren and your family. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. 43 is the verse that we want. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43, we want verse 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Tonight we're going to talk about four things that you should guard against in your relationship with men. I'm talking about other human beings. And the reason that you should is that it's not good for you. And it's not good for your relationship with the Lord if any of these four things are things that have a controlling influence in your life. And so the first thing that you should guard against is in verse 43, they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. The first thing you should guard against in your relationship with people is pleasing man. Men pleasers. You should really guard against that. A man pleaser, somebody who is looking for a way to please men, is controlled to a certain extent by their praises. And that's what happened in this passage you're looking at. The people, the chief rulers, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but because they loved the praise of men more than they loved the praise of God, they didn't want to confess Jesus Christ because they knew the other people that were chief or Pharisees would ridicule them because now they have trusted Jesus Christ or now they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pleasing men, being a men pleaser, is a really, really difficult thing because you're worried about what other people think about you. And you're worried about what other people are saying about you. And you are somewhat controlled by your efforts to get them to say good things about you. The military has an expression for people who are men pleasers, and it's not a good expression. Some of you may be familiar with it. But you're walking a little too close to the fellow in front of you in order to try to make a good impression on this person. And do you know something? The Lord recognizes when that desire is in your heart. So tonight we have young people here. Let me see if I can phrase this in a way that if you don't yet understand what I'm saying, it might make sense to you. In school, they call this peer pressure. And the pressure is this. You're trying to leave a good impression on these kids so that they will allow you to be included in their group. But the kids in that group, much like these kids here, probably don't feel the same way about Jesus Christ as you do. And so for you to get along with them, for you to make a good impression on them, for you to please them, you have to stifle any conversation about Jesus Christ, lest they find out that you believe in Him and actually want to follow Him. And so what happens is you get caught as a men pleaser. You get caught in trying to impress the crowd that you want to please and yet at the same time impress the people at church. Because you're a men pleaser that you want to please, and you're living life in two worlds. And it's not I'll tell you what, it's not a happy way to live. It's a miserable way. Really and truly, you need to cast in with one or the other. And I'll say, without reservation, you want to cast in with this group. You don't want to live like you're always trying to get praises from people here. That's not that's not good either, but you really don't want to live getting praises from people here and putting on a good impression here and then trying to get praises from other people out there. I know that this is not a good way to live because I tried it. And you can't be successful. You can't be successful. It's a miserable life. It really is. Because you know in your heart, you're really having to play up to it. And you know something, when you're a men pleaser, you're not always sure what it is that you have to do to meet their expectations. You're not ever really sure what it is today that they're going to expect of you in order for them to praise you. It might be that they want you to do something very foolish or to say something very foolish. And all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I'm really, really torn here. These guys were very torn about their relationship with the Lord. They believed him. They believed on him. But they dare not make it known. They did not want to be put out of the synagogue. And so they had to play both sides of the street against the middle. That is a very difficult place to live. So you have that in you. You have to put yourself in check and say, wait a minute. I look at yourself in the mirror. You don't have to tell anybody here, but you have to say, thanks, preacher, preach that tonight. Lord, I am a man pleaser. Well, if you are, then you really want to, you really want to deal with that in the face of the Lord and say, you know something? I'm not going to worry about it. Nicodemus went to Jesus Christ. What time of day? At night. And when he was talking about whether Jesus Christ was getting fair treatment from the Pharisees, they called him out. Are you going to be one of his disciples? But after the crucifixion, he was there, you know, with the rich man to ask for the body of Jesus and go to the burial. Tough place to live. Look at a couple of passages here in the New Testament. Paul had to deal with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Take it from a man who lived a lot of his life as a man pleaser. The earlier you get started on this, the better you're going to be. Because eventually you're going to have to draw the line on yourself and say, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm not going to try to impress them just because I want to get along with them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at verse 4. Paul said, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Before we finish the verse, I want to say something. Those of us who are here tonight that believe this Bible, you know something, you've been entrusted with something. Other people who are Christians may not believe to the extent that you do or that I do that God actually preserved his words in the King James Bible. But if you believe that, if you've come to that conclusion from your study and from your prayer and from your examination that this is the case, you know something, God has entrusted you with something to carry on beyond my lifetime and the lifetime of others who are going to pass before you do in the ordinary course of things. Tonight we have children here. And I remember, I'm looking at you, but I remember a testimony you gave here from the pulpit after camp. Please pray for us. God has really worked in our hearts that we will stay faithful to the things that we've heard. And I've remembered to pray for you. But you understand, you're much younger than I am, but God has given to us, to an extent, God has entrusted you with something that he has entrusted to me that I've passed along to you. And Lord willing, when you're old and ugly, you never will be that, and gray like I am, there'll still be somebody holding the truth. Hold the fort, for you know, I am coming. You're tonight, you may not realize if you're still a teenager that, or in your 20s, that you are hearing something that one of these days is going to become very precious to you. And you'll be like, oh, I am so glad that I was raised in that church and that God has trusted me to carry on what God entrusted the people that helped my pastor carry on. And that's what Paul had. That's what he had. From the Lord, he was put in trust with the gospel. Do you know there are churches today where they preach a lot of things that can help you, but they don't preach the gospel regularly? There are actually people who are going to church, and because they've been accepted by the congregation, maybe baptized in the church, they haven't even gotten saved yet. They're not even clear on their own testimony about when and how they got saved. And they may be saved, but then again, they may not be saved. I was talking to Brother Havman. I think I mentioned this to you the other day. And he said, we have people moving here from California coming into Idaho. And I'm talking to them about their salvation. And I honestly cannot tell by their testimony whether they're saved or not. And the reason is they can't tell about their own testimony. So Paul said, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak. Look at this. Not as pleasing men. But God was tried at the hearts. Do you understand that if I were a men pleaser today, I could not have preached the sermon that I preached this morning? Because I'd be all worried about whether or not you were coming back tonight or whether you'd put any offering in the box. And when a man is concerned about how the people feel about him in the pulpit, he is absolutely not able to preach everything, the whole counsel of God. And I talked to the preacher I had in a church back there in Beeville. You know the story, but he had a beautiful gospel message and didn't preach it. I took him to lunch. I didn't know. I hadn't even gone to Bible college yet. I'm like, wow, you had such a great opportunity to preach the gospel. Why didn't you do it? Well, after he beat around the bush for 30 minutes, he finally said, if I had preached what that Bible said, half the people would have left this church, and then who would pay the bills? You know what that is? That's a man pleaser. I do not want to live in that trap. And I don't recommend it to you. Paul didn't. He said, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Ultimately, our goal should be to please God. Now listen, when you find favor with God, then He will bring you into favor with those with whom He wants you to have favor. Let Him be the choice of that. You know something? You know, you get worried about how other people are going to feel about you. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. Look at Proverbs chapter 16 and realize this is an interesting thing. You and I should only be concerned about pleasing God, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 7. This is a remarkable passage of Scripture. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with Him. You're concerned about how other people will treat you? If you don't play into their game and try to elicit their praises and please them, don't worry about it. If they turn and become enemies, He said, if you please me, I'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. That's a remarkable thing. That's a remarkable thing. So please the Lord. You know, we could go on and preach a message on pleasing the Lord, but these are four things that you want to do in your life that you really want to avoid. And the first one is getting caught in that trap of being a man pleaser. Now look, if you are, you are. If you are, you are. We'll go to the mirror and say, okay, scoundrel, you heard tonight you're a man pleaser. And then you say to the Lord, quit looking in the mirror, look up and say, God, help me with this. I want to get my heart in a place where I'm only concerned about pleasing You. Finding favor with You, so then You will bring me into favor with those with whom You want me to have favor, and I'm not going to worry if somebody else doesn't like me because I like You. Choose God. Please God. Amen? All right. Here's the second thing, and it was in our passage back there in John 14. They were concerned, weren't they? I mean, John chapter 12. They were concerned about what? If they confessed Jesus Christ, they were concerned about what happening to them. They're going to get kicked out of the synagogue. All right? All right, so look in Proverbs chapter 29. Here's the second thing. This goes really, really closely in hand with the first point, but it is its own point. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. And here it is. Okay, guard against pleasing men, guard against fearing man. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know, I've had the opportunity after living a number of years and being in the ministry for a while, when you are around somebody who fears man, you see the snare, that has entrapped them, and now they're in cage. You know something? This is the election cycle. I think even if God called me to, I'd have to argue with God and tell him no. I would not run for politics. Because pleasing man and fearing man is, that's what drives the system. It would be an all, and there's a snare in that. And fearing man puts a snare, and you are caught in that fear, and it will eventually cause you conflict with the Lord. Because you're afraid, if I don't, then they're going to do this, or if I do, then they're going to do this, and you get stymied. He said, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Okay, we're going to talk about trust in the Lord in the next point. In this point, okay, if I'm having trouble with pleasing men, I've got to just learn to please God only and not worry what men have to say if God is pleased. In this point, I don't need to fear man. I need to fear God. I need to fear God. And if God, and listen, if I'm fearing God and in the fear of God, I'm doing what God wants me to do. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will of his good pleasure. If I'm fearing him, then I don't have to worry about fearing man. Let me ask you something. Is God bigger than man? There are verses in the Bible that talk about God being terrible, not in the sense of horrible, but in the sense of causing terror. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Yeah, if you're going to fear one or the other, fear him. Here's the deal. This is what I've learned. The greater fear prevails. The greater fear prevails. I used an illustration with you recently. I think here's a guy walking down the street. His hotel is in the next block, and the shortcut is a dark alley. And you go down that dark alley and save two blocks that way and a block that way and two blocks back this way to get to the hotel if I just go through there. But it's nighttime, and that's dark, and I'm in a strange city. You know what he's going to do? He's going to go two blocks this way and one block that way and two blocks this way and not go through that dark alley. Why? He's afraid there might be a bookman in there. Right? All right, so now he's walking down the street, right? And all of a sudden he hears steps coming up real fast behind him. He turns around to somebody in a, you know, an overcoat when it's summertime and a hat like that and dark glasses on at nighttime. He's walking right toward him. You know what he's going to do? He's going to go through that alley and go to that hotel. Why? The greater fear, right, prevails. If you fear God and God is bigger and badder than any man and all men together, you're going to do what he says rather than what you think man wants you to do. Right? Because you fear the greater fear prevails. You know what the problem is in society today? There is no fear of God before their eyes. You know, people in church today, generally speaking, are not even in the least concerned about fear of God. It's more about coming in feeling good, going home encouraged. Well, frankly, I like to feel good and I like to be encouraged. I can understand being drawn into that. But I'm telling you, if we do not preach the fear of God, where's the wisdom? Where's the knowledge? The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Why wouldn't I preach the fear of God? In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. The Lord shall be thy confidence. Why wouldn't you preach that? Well, you wouldn't preach it if you were afraid of men. But men can't hurt you like God can. Right? So you would say, okay, well, look, whenever the Lord gave commission to people like Joshua and to Ezekiel and to Jeremiah, he would say to them, look, do not be dismayed at their faces. Don't you worry about their reactions. He told Jeremiah, if you shut down because of what you see in their faces, I'm going to shut you down. I'll confound you before them. And in all those cases, what he wants them to do is to fear him rather than the people he called them to minister to. So I get that. And they did. Thank God Jeremiah did say what God wanted him to say. And Ezekiel did say, and Joshua did take them in there and led them to attack their enemies and take possession of the land that God had given them. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. The very first king, 1 Samuel chapter 15, the very first king that God chose for Israel was a man named Saul, a Benjamite. He was a goodly man. He was, you know, he was a head height above the other men, head and shoulders, we say, above them. There were a lot of characteristics about him that were good. He had a character problem. And the character problem was he feared men. God gave him a commandment in 1 Samuel chapter 15 to destroy the Amalekites, or the Amalekites. Destroy their animals, destroy them. Don't let anybody live. Now that's a tough thing, but Saul was that kind of man. He was very successful in battle. Israel was very successful in battle under him. But in this particular case, Saul disobeyed God and let the best animals continue to live. And he kept the king, Agag, alive. And when Samuel confronted Saul in this passage why he didn't obey the Lord, verse 20, Saul said to Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. He didn't, but he said he did. He said, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord in verse 20 and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. Wait a minute. I thought you said you obeyed. Now you're saying, well, they should have been destroyed. To sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. That's why we did it. We're going to offer him a sacrifice. God didn't say anything about offering me a sacrifice. He said, kill him. Right? Samuel said in verse 22, hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and in obeying the voice of the Lord? And then he really reams him out. But look at verse 24. Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words. Why? Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. You're going to make a choice in your life, whether you're going to choose the people and fear them or choose God and fear him. And I'm telling you, be careful. Be on guard. Don't fear man. Fear God. Let me give you a little something here that might help you. You know, some of us have the fear of man in us, and it's just the dreadful thought of having to face somebody that we're afraid of. I mean, we'll give you an example. Cade, stand up. And I won't mistreat you. You got mistreated the other day, and I won't mistreat you. Would I have any reason to? I mean, look. I'm a grasshopper. He's 12 feet tall. I mean, you know how it is, right? Thank you. So the idea is if I had some confrontation with him, I might be scared about that. May I tell you something? That fear is an emotion. and you deal with that emotion before the Lord until He strengthens you by girding your loins with the truth, and then you go have your confrontation. Deal with this emotion, right? And then go in the fear of God, and you say, now you can stand back up again. But God, you got to get right with God. I did it. It may not be pretty, but you get the job done. Okay. Right? I mean, you did it. Why? Because you feared God. You feared God. Just deal with the emotion. I mean, after a while, you're kind of like, He wasn't going to hurt me. He looked at me and gave me a hug because He was so glad that I told Him the truth. Well, I didn't know that was coming. Fear God. Fear God, not man. Okay, so you're going to guard yourself against pleasing man and against fearing man. Jeremiah chapter 17. This was already in one of the verses we looked at. Jeremiah chapter 17. Here's the third thing. Guard against trusting in man. Jeremiah chapter 17. Now, I want to be a little bit careful when I say guard against trusting in man. You know, relationships are built on trust. If you have a good marriage, there's trust in that relationship. But may I tell you, you can spend a lifetime building trust in a relationship and you can blow it in about 5 minutes or less. Okay? We have to remember that we are flesh and blood and we can do something to destroy trust. If we can, then the people we trust can also. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. That's a plant out there in the desert. And shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Man, I'm telling you, the Lord said to Jeremiah here, the worst thing in the world is to put your trust in a man when you haven't put your trust in the Lord. Look at the contrast, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. That poor heath is out there in the parched land in the desert. This guy is going to be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You know, there are so many things that men want you to do to trust them. We're in an election cycle, and I only want to say that many of them are putting forth their policy stands to some extent on what they hope to be able to do, and they just want to say it in a way that you're like, oh, yeah, that's the person right there. That wants your vote. Okay? Psalm, with what you just read, Psalm 118, companion passages. Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9. It is better. So if you have to choose now, please God, please man, please God. Fear man, fear God, fear God. Trust in man, trust in God, trust in God. It is better, Psalm 118:8, to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Right? So always check your heart and remember, okay, who am I trusting here? And he says in Jeremiah, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. I want to be a little bit careful here because when you are in a church like we're in and you build close relationships with each other, like we have, there is a tendency to sort of let your guard down a little bit and just say, oh man, this guy would never hurt me. We're people. And under normal circumstances, you would never hurt each other. But circumstances aren't always normal. And sometimes, unfortunately, I loved what Pastor King said the other day, it's time for the best Christians to be the best Christians. But sometimes good Christians are not always on their best behavior. You ever experienced anything like that? And you know what will happen is if your trust is in the man instead of in the Lord, what happens is when you find out that the Christian's not on the best behavior, all of a sudden you don't want anything to do with any Christian. And that's because you put so much trust in the person more than you did in the Lord. You have to be careful about that. When I'm preaching and we look at the scripture and I say the Bible says this, I want you to go check the Bible out. I want you to go be sure that what you heard is right. I don't want you to count on it because I said it. I want you to count on it because that's what God said. And if it's what God said, then you know you can say, well, I'm thankful that our pastor told us, but it's God that I trust because His Word says this. Oh, now you got a solid foundation. I can't tell you how many houses I've visited where there are people who'll never go back to church again because they got hurt by people in church. And you know, ultimately what it was is that there was a certain trust that God's people would behave better than that. That they wouldn't do that to you. But they do. They do. And that's not to say to you, you shouldn't build trusting relationships with each other at all. Just remember that when you're building that trusting relationship, the trust should always be more in God than in the person. And if they mess up, just know that that's what men do. They just do. And it won't hurt you. It won't hurt you quite as bad. It'll hurt, but it won't hurt you quite as bad because it's kind of like, you know, I was told that this might happen. And it does sometimes. It really does. You know, I first got going for the Lord. There were some people that God used to really help me, and I did have a lot of confidence in them, and I had a lot of trust in them. And they had a lot of confidence in me and a lot of confidence, you know, in me as well. And you know what? We let each other down. And once you get to the Lord and you trust in the Lord and you heal up from those experiences, you look back and say, you know what? They really weren't that bad, and I'm sorry that I was what I was. You get over it better. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because your trust is in God. That's the person to trust. And you know something? He will never, never, He will never let you down. Ever. He'll never let you down. Well, I told you to be on guard about four things. Four things. I can make the fourth point as part of this point and don't have to go to another passage of Scripture because these really are the three, these are the three main things. Don't be a man pleaser, be a God pleaser. Now don't fear man, fear God. And when you're building trust in your relationships with people, do remember, I've got to trust God because this person might let me down. Now listen, in these relationships, there are times when you are going to want to express yourself in confidence to somebody. Be careful if you are on the receiving end of something confidential. Be careful about sharing something confidential. Again, we're men. I've had people start telling me something and say, well, preacher, I need to tell you something in confidence. And I've actually said, you know what, if it's, don't. I don't think I want to hear it. I don't want to be responsible for this. Sometimes it has to be done, but let me just say this. If you don't want to hear it repeated in a way that is juicier than you told it, don't tell it. A lot of times what will happen is you'll say something about somebody that hurt you, but somehow or another it works its way back to the person who did it, but by the time it gets back to them, it's worse than what you said, and guess what you're going to get? More hurt. That's people. And the best thing to do is not carry that. If there's something that you don't want to hear repeated Or if there's something you don't want to hear repeated in a way that you really didn't want it said, probably best just sit on that one and you and God talk it out and let's don't talk about that. It's very safe that way. And it's good that way. You can pass over a transgression a whole lot easier if you keep it between you and God. Amen. Amen. So we'll just reduce it to three. We'll just reduce it to three. 3 points remembered is better than 4 points forgotten. What are we going to do? We're going to please God, not please man. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? If you're pleasing God, God will bring you into favor with those that He wants you to be in favor with. Don't fear man. Fear God. And trust God. And when trust builds in your relationship with men, just remember, they are made of feet of clay just like you. And they can let you down. So always make sure your trust is in God. You'll live life a lot less disappointed. Amen? Good instruction from the Word of God. Father, we're very thankful tonight for the Scripture. We're very thankful for the Bible, and we love you. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us be very faithful to do the things we've heard tonight, to please you, to trust you, and to fear you. And we ask you, Father, to do these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.